I would say to women, and the same in reverse to men, that you being called masculine should stop being an insult. And someone speaking to someone with a penis and saying that you have a beautiful feminine or you have a strong feminine or you have a whatever feminine should not be an insult. That the masculine in you does not cancel out the feminine in you, whatever body you're in, and vice versa. So I long to live in a world where we are proud that we have a masculine and a feminine.
Welcome to the Seeing in the Dark podcast, the podcast for the women of the ancient futures, women that see beyond eyes and know beyond mind and are here to make a change from a deep communion with the mystery of life. Seeing in the Dark is about walking paths that have not been walked before and daring to show up for the mission and dream life that is knocking on your door. My name is Nicole Nima Costeras. Mystic, medium, initiated priestess, and here to take you into the mysteries of purpose, power, ritual, and intuition. May you embody your own unique essence so deeply that your vibration naturally teaches, inspires, and assists others. Let's dive in. In today's episode, I will share with you one of the over 20 masterclasses of the She Who Stands for a New World Global Online Retreat, an online experience with over 20 workshops, masterclasses, and interviews from oracles, wisdom keepers, astrologers, dancers, facilitators, and just a really beautiful variety of people that show up for the world they want to live in. This retreat has been created from the intention to, in these times of change and crisis in the world that can bring up fear and doubt about where we are going as a world, to stand up and show up for your mission, for your business, for the message that you are here to bring for the world. So this global online retreat, She Who Stands for a New World, is there to help you connect to the core of your essence, the heart of your mission, and the soul of your business. So enjoy today's masterclass. If you feel inspired to purchase the whole bundle of over 20 masterclasses, interviews, and workshops, you can purchase the whole bundle for only 47 euros. Link is below this episode. And for now, I wish you an incredible time with today's speaker. Much love. Welcome to the She Who Stands for a New World Global Online Retreat. My name is Nicole Costeras. I am your host, and I'm sitting here together with Taki. Taki's work integrates embodied experience with esoteric knowledge and ancient wisdom. She transmits the full range of evolution from personality healing to soul awakening and anchoring to opening to spirit and letting yourself be guided by the one life. Taki has been leading international groups in almost 25 countries and the last decade, and Taki is devoted to embodied soul awakening and leadership. Her ancestral roots are in Bolivia and Greece, and she holds two master degrees from Columbia University in NYC, one in sexual and reproductive health, and another in international development. She is based in Finland at Nikila Temple, along with her beloved Timo and Sisu and Kameli the Huskies, who I've actually met in person recently. Welcome, Taki. You are here to speak with us about the dark masculine and power in women. And it's a topic that excites me so much. I'm really grateful that you're here with us today.
I'm honored to be here. Thank you for the invitation. I'm so excited that the retreat is going well and there are so many who have signed up and so grateful for your vision and your leadership.
I'm really happy that we are here to talk about this topic because I was with you in the temple training for 6 weeks right before this retreat started. And I feel like one of the things that you embody so beautifully is this archetype of the dark masculine. And I know that for myself, I struggled with my power and fully embracing that because I have a lot of this dark masculine power in me. And I know that through being in contact with you, I felt it so much more welcome. And I feel I'm so much more at peace with my own power. So can you share with us what the dark masculine is? Because I know you work with this beautiful system called the cross. Can we go a little bit into the explanation of what that is exactly?
The cross, it has nothing to do with religion. It's literally a cross, a horizontal and a vertical axis. It was passed down and developed by Bruce Lyon who's in New Zealand and has founded the Haydn Mystery School there. And it's something he worked with or has been working with for 40 years. And basically it reduces our existence down to four polarities and four quadrants. And it's also the map for soul initiation. And as we develop on the path, we can reflect back on these polarities and these quadrants. So on the, let's say, this top half of the cross, it's more the etheric realm. It's more the realm of the soul. It's less dense, less matter. And so on the top here, we have soul. The bottom here, we have animal body. And that this half of the cross is more the earthly dense matter reality of our existence. And we have both. We have soul and animal body. And then on the horizontal axis, we have masculine and feminine. And it doesn't matter what genitals your body has or what you identify as, orientation, etc. We all have a feminine and masculine. And so then when you bring in the soul and the masculine together, then you've got light masculine. It's that combination. And the soul and the feminine together, and you've got light feminine. And then same, the animal body here and the feminine, dark feminine, and here, dark masculine. And then if you look at all the archetypes that are there, there are so many different ones, masculine, feminine. If you follow Jung's work, you can reduce it down to 12 or 24. This reduces it even further down to four and says, okay, where am I in my development on my path in the light and dark, the feminine and masculine, and then zeroing into these four archetypes. And because, you know, we've developed different gifts in different lifetimes and come in with certain tendencies, we may have developed a quadrant, or might be more stronger on the top half than the bottom half. And so we're here to, if we are interested in soul initiation, we're interested in our development path, then seeing where the gaps are and also what needs to come into balance, because each quadrant has shadow, distorted versions. And so what needs to come into balance and also what needs to be developed because it's stunted. And that's our work in this life.
Yeah, beautiful. So just to briefly unpack it a little bit more, even, we could say that the lower half of the quadrant, the dark, is also connected to the lower chakras, right? It's connected to our sexuality, to the earth, to the ground. And the light quadrant, so the upper half of the cross, being connected to the multidimensionality or the upper chakras and more like meditation and these kind of realms.
Yeah, you could break it down like that. Yeah, it's not that one quadrant corresponds to a particular chakra, but yes, that division, and that all of them are the realm of the heart. All of them have a place in the heart. All of them are an expression of love, because soul is love. And it doesn't mean you call it love, and it doesn't mean it's pink or it's fluffy or anything like that, but it's still love. And all of them come from life force. So they all are power, they all are love, and they're all life. They all share the heart. And then, yes, the dark sister, dark brother would be more of the solar plexus, the sacral, the feelings, the matter piece, the sexuality, and all of that. Yes.
Yes. So before we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the dark masculine, because that's what you're here to talk about today, can we just, like, maybe even in brief one or two sentence point to each one of the four? Just so that the women here can get a bit more of a clear feeling, like, what is the light feminine? Like, what is the energy of her? What is the light masculine? And just to briefly touch upon all four of them.
Yeah, sure. So light masculine, usually how we start on the path, and this is where we question, there's got to be something more to life, or something more sacred, something more meaningful. So the tagline of the light masculine, I know who I am and I know why I'm here. And that doesn't get shaken by any of the emotional roller coasters or whatevers of everyday life. I'm a soul and I'm here with a purpose. Mm-hmm. And then we go to his sister on the light realm, light feminine. And this quadrant, again, soul and feminine, the interconnectedness of everything, the grace and beauty and the purity of love, the innocence and the feeling and accepting everything unconditionally as it is. So you fall in her embrace, and there's nothing to fix. There's nothing to change. Nothing is wrong. It's just that deep acceptance and grace and love that the transmission comes through. So an example of that would be the maiden or the great mother.
and of the light masculine.
Yeah, so like the yogi, the meditator, the great father, but in spirit, like in the heavens, great father. And then we have the dark sister. Here we have the, again, interconnectedness, because that's the feminine piece, and which will remain same. And here, the interconnectedness is through connection of matter, that we're all part of nature, that we're all connected, and we're all part of the same organism, let's say. And therefore, I feel everything, and I feel it intensely. And I feel, you know, it's that most of us at some point feel so saturated with whatever we see on the news or on social media or whatever. And it's like we go numb, we turn around, we say, okay, that has nothing to do with me, or I can't, you know, I'm not involved in that. That's not. This is the quadrant that says, no, look, feel it is happening and feel it. And she has erotic wisdom, erotic intelligence, which does not mean about having sex, although it can include, but it's that sensuality and that sexuality. And even below that, that wisdom that through arousal, like what gets me juiced up and following that as a guidance. And it's the love for all the rejected parts, all the parts we consider ugly or profane or bad. Mm.
And some archetype examples of the dark feminine.
Yeah. So Lilith. Also Kali. There is a mother also here, but it's the dark mother. It's the Kali Ma. Then we move over to the dark masculine, and I leave it for last because that's where we're going to continue from. He is the brother that says, this is who I am unapologetically, and this is what I stand for. He's a wielder of power. They're all power. But when you have access to matter power, you have a lot of power on this planet, in this density. And so he is a wielder of power as well as a wielder of death, that which must go, that which needs to die. And that's the way he says, I love you. He says, I love because I'm willing to call things out and bring an end to it, which allows for something else to come through, for something fresh, for something real, something authentic. But, you know, sitting with it, babying it and chatting about it or negotiating over it, no. And he stands, even if he stands alone or if he stands with 1,000 or 1,000,000 others, he stands. He stands for what is right, for what is sacred, what is love. And again, it doesn't have to be called love. And that's done unapologetically, like even at a very high risk or cost to, you know, whatever, family, money, image, you know, job, whatever. No, I stand because this is right. And then another aspect of him is this taking, claiming. And a lot of people have challenges with this. And so the claiming and taking is not about without consent. It's not about this selfish. Yeah. It's I have the right to own my desires. Whether they are met or not, that is a very different question. I have the right to own my desires. I claim what I want. I want this. Now, whether I get this or not, that's a different thing. But I want this. This is claiming. And then if with consent, then taking unapologetically, transparently with consent. And so the shadow side of that would be, for example, in sexuality, that would be rape. But in the healthy aspect of it, it would be taking and ravishing, enjoying pleasure. Really just, yeah, to your piece of sushi over lunch, for example. It doesn't have to be sexual, but it can be. But it's this energy of I'm here to ravish life. It's the penetrative power that both brothers have. In the light brother, it's consciousness. So it's transcendence. It's penetrating illusion with consciousness. And the dark brother, it's penetrating matter with his presence. And so like the sperm does penetrate an egg, for example, right? So it's this penetrative power, this penetrative presence. And I'm here with that penetrative presence to cut through bullshit and illusion. And that may mean death to some ego thing, pattern thing, or a relationship or a job or whatever. I'm also here to penetrate with that power and manifest like the sperm and the egg. So I'm here to manifest and get shit done on this material plane. Mm-hmm. So this ravishing, this taking, this claiming, owning what I desire, who I am here unapologetically, standing for love, the sacred, freedom, whatever you call it, truth, whatever you call it, and this wielder of death. So these are like the range that the dark masculine has. And it does not have to be that motorcycle riding or that, like, you know, martial arts or whatever. It can be, but it's not about the form. So it's not like, yeah, it has to look like that.
Yeah, beautiful. Like, I just noticed my whole body gets so excited. Like, I love talking about this topic. Like, I feel two directions. I'm just feeling which one to go first. But why do you feel it's so important, this quadrant, the dark masculine? What has you feel so passionate about this quadrant?
First of all, it's a transmission that I carry, obviously, through work from previous lives, or lives, probably many. And at first, it was something I felt I needed to hide. It was something I felt I should be ashamed of, especially because I'm in a female body that's also quite small. And I don't particularly, you know, I don't ride a motorcycle or, you know, do martial arts. So it's like, there's like a, and then I realized, oh, actually, there's very few examples of healthy, dark masculine, because it's been so shamed, so shunned, so repressed, because we've put on a pedestal the light brother over the past 2,500 years, light brother, the yogi, the meditator, the guru, the, yeah, the one who ascends and escapes this hell. So the dark brother has taken on the devil, the Lucifer, that persona, that identity. And of course, anything you repress is going to become distorted. And so much shadow has developed around it. And so I feel that whatever I've done and whatever I'm carrying with me in this life, I've managed to purify it and clean it. Am I 100%? No. But yes, I've done tons of work on this in this life. And that's a transmission that I can give in hopes of inspiring others, that you don't have to try to hide it. You don't have to pretend it's not there. Whether you're in a male or female body doesn't matter. I'm talking to all humans here. Because look around you, what happens in the earth, what happens in your communities, what happens in your country, what happens whatever, at whatever level you take it to, when you don't stand, when we don't stand for the sacred, when we don't own our desires, and it gets all muddy and slimy and of course, without consent, taking or raping or pillaging and you know, wars and so forth, it's ridiculous. It's the absence of the healthy dark masculine that has resulted in a lot of what we see around us. And the dark masculine, when in its healthy form, is very much an integrity. And it's a challenging thing, but it's very much an integrity. It's a very safe place to be, one of the safest places to be. And so to welcome that back in all bodies, we are incomplete and way distorted without him. So this is why I feel so passionate about it. And I know that because of the distortions, those who carry a strong dark masculine either apologize or go shadow. And we can't afford that. We can't afford that anymore.
Yeah. So for the women who are watching now, if they want to know what their dark masculine is like how can they feel whether their dark masculine is hiding, or whether their dark masculine is in shadow, or maybe whether they have a healthy dark masculine inside of them?
Well, to be honest, most people will have some aspect of healthy, some aspect of underdeveloped, so it needs some support, and some part that's distorted, that it's in excess and has become like some distorted version, some shadow version. Most people have something in all three areas. So it's a rare person that just has, you know, just distortion or just underdeveloped, but there are tendencies. Yeah, there are tendencies. So to look at, I mean, we can go through something more, you know, experiential, and I can guide that and see, you know, where do you fall? You know, is this somewhere you need more work, or is this somewhere that needs more purification? Because it's there, but through you trying to hide it, it's become distorted.
I really felt like interested in why the dark masculine is so important in women. And what I can see for myself is that because I was seeing the dark masculine so much in distortion in this world, in the leaders in this world, in just like the distortion in power in this world, that had me reject my own dark masculine inside of me. Because I was just afraid that when it would come out, it would be manipulative, or I would hurt others, or I would not be able to hold it clean. And so my being decided to suppress it and hide it, because I wouldn't take the risk to hurt someone or be toxic with it. And I wouldn't have a healthy example of how to be with power in a clean way. I guess I was just curious to unpack that a bit more for the women who are listening and they recognize like, oh, I have a lot of power, but I am scared to fully stand in it because I don't want to hurt others, or I'm scared that I cannot hold it clean. Or maybe they are not so connected to this quadrant at all. So I wanted to open that exploration a bit more.
First of all, I would say to women, and the same in reverse to men, that you being called masculine should stop being an insult. And someone speaking to someone with a penis and saying that you have a beautiful feminine, or you have a strong feminine, or you have a whatever feminine, should not be an insult. That the masculine you does not cancel out the feminine in you, whatever body you're in, and vice versa. So I long to live in a world where we are proud that we have a masculine and a feminine. So first of all, yeah, if you're going to start embracing and working with the dark masculine, to understand for yourself, that's not an insult, because that was one of the major things I had to get over, was that because I was just kept being told like, you're too masculine, you know, you're not feminine enough, you need to work on your femininity. It was actually when I got my masculine in its rightful place, you know, like in its clean integrity place, that my feminine could then flower more. Yeah, so this is another reason for women, is that we keep looking for the masculine out there. And that means we're half and we'll always be half. And same for men looking for the feminine out there. They'll always be half. Now, I don't want to meet somebody who's half. I don't want like I have one leg and you have one leg and then we can walk together. And in Spanish, we have the saying of media naranja, which means, you know, you're half an orange. I don't want to meet my half an orange. I want to be whole orange, meeting another whole orange, and we can make plenty more together, you know? So I don't want to be half.
Just a quick break from this week's episode to give you a beautiful invitation for your men. I know that I work with women only, so everything I normally share in my space is for women only. But today I have a really beautiful opportunity for your men. My beloved partner, Nemanja Sonero, is organizing, together with a dear friend and colleague, a Haka event, Haka 100 Men Strong. And it's a unique opportunity on the 10th of February here in Amsterdam to join them in a one-day event. Can you share a bit about this event?
Yes, this is about brotherhood, this event. It's about really connecting men to their warrior primal energies. And this is very important for men to nourish, to practice together, because this part of us, which exists in all men, in all women also, is very important to bring into life and in a healthy way. So bringing that masculinity, that aspect of ourselves into all areas of our lives. And we do it together. We practice it together. We come together, and to use Haka, the ancient Maori war tradition, war dance, some call it, to bring this outside of ourselves. And it's a beautiful opportunity to meet also Kane, who's going to be facilitating, bringing the Maori tradition to men and certain aspects of their traditions into brotherhood. So it's a powerful one-day event. Join us, 10th of February. And we have a limited amount of spots available, so we're already selling quite well and really happy about it. But hurry up, and ladies, if you have a son, a brother, a man, a father, anyone, a friend in your environment, really invite them, because this is a very unique opportunity for men.
Yes, and men are flying in at the moment from all over to come to this one-day event. And Kane, who is a Maori himself, brings this beautiful traditional dance or prayer from New Zealand here in Amsterdam. So check out the link below this episode, find out more about the event and book your ticket now. There is brotherhood tickets, so you can bring friends, your men can bring friends and come together to this beautiful one-day event. They would love to see your men there. Back to the episode now.
It's such an important piece that you're naming here, like, that it should stop being an insult, because I feel there is so much work of surrendering back into the feminine, so much women's work, right, that inspires us to connect deeper to the feminine, which is amazing and super important work. But I also had a struggle with, okay, but what about my masculine? Because I have a lot of it right here. And I love that you share that it should stop being received as an insult or being given as an insult, because it's beautiful and amazing and so needed also when it comes to standing for a new world, which this whole retreat is about.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have expected the men, I put in quotes, the men to stand for a new world. No, there is a masculine in each one of us, and we cannot afford anymore for only half of us to stand for a new world. We don't have that luxury anymore. Thank God, because that maybe that will push us into being able to, you know, step up, all of us. So that's one of the first things about this, given or received as an insult, and to know that anytime you work with one polarity, again, they're part of an axis, they are not opposites. They don't cancel each other out, nor are they at war. They actually are sourced from the same and complement each other. And, you know, that's polarity work, and we'll leave that aside for now. But to understand that to strengthen, or in my case, to clean your masculine supports your feminine. And to do the very needed work around your feminine, for those in women's bodies, that will naturally invite out the masculine. Only we go wrong and we look outside then. And we say, okay, meet me, you know, like, why can't I meet a man who's, you know, or a woman, whatever you're into, but, you know, someone who's holding that and can hold me while I... And so you're going to be a slave until you find that. And so long as that sticks around, like, really? Is that how you want to live your life? That's my, you know, plea to the world that no, develop that healthy. And many women come and say, oh, but I have already a strong masculine. Like, you know, I don't need to work on this, make it any stronger. Really, I don't. And I hear you. I believe you. Is it healthy? And most of the time, almost always, I'd say 100% of the time, this was like, no, it's not healthy. It's trying to do power over games. Who's got the bigger cog? Who's the bigger dog with men? Compete. Ridiculous. Not entering into brotherhood. Unhealthy masculine of putting men down in particular and showing kind of, you know, I'm more man than you kind of thing. Look, you can't, you know, you can't rise to the occasion, or you're not good enough. Because I've got some belief around men, and that you're poisoning your own masculine. You're definitely not supporting your own feminine in that, and continuing that out there, spreading, you know, what you've got going on in here, just spilling it out all over the place out there. So yeah, this is what I really want to say to women, is understand that whenever I judge or compete or do that out there, I'm doing it to myself first and foremost. Nobody gains, nobody wins. So let's clean up our masculine so that we can be in brotherhood. The last thing I want to say is a kind of question is, you have to be ready for those who are interested in men, in romantic or sexual relating. This is something no one warned me about. So I'm warning you, okay, you all, that it will take a man who is secure in his own power to be able to be with you. Once you claim your power in the dark masculine quadrant, he's got to be secure enough in his, that's one. And he's got to be embracing of his own feminine. Otherwise, there will be just a lot of competition, and basically the sexual charge drops and it just goes into brotherhood. If he can accept the masculine in you, then it just goes into brotherhood. But if he's like power, recognizes power, and power then charges more power, you know, it's like, so you find somebody who's can recognize power as power, and then it's not a problem. And someone who can dance with the polarity with you, then it's not a problem. But that does start limiting choices. And in my opinion, that's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Like, yeah, like, who's the creme de la crop? Like, who are, you know, the ones who passed that, you know, have done that work for themselves and can meet me in my wholeness? That's what I want. I don't need to play it small so that I have more choice to date, you know?
Yeah, beautiful. And I know that in my relationship with Nemanja, we've went through a really beautiful process in the temple training, the training that we were in right before this retreat. And we actually recognized that we both have a strong dark masculine, and they were at battle. And we had a really beautiful deepening in the retreat of him surrendering into his feminine and being able to dance with my dark masculine, and the other way around, me surrendering in my light feminine and meeting him fully in his dark masculine. It's amazing. It's really beautiful. So it's also for the women to know that if you have a man that maybe at this point is not so embracing of your dark masculine, that there's also ways to find that or like reinvent that connection and to explore together and to, yeah, to find a way where they can dance together in a very beautiful way.
Yeah, definitely. If he's willing, it requires his willingness. And yeah, so in the beginning, there might be some, you know, how do we do this? And it's okay. And I remember when I had challenges with my husband, Timo, with his dark masculine, because I felt it wasn't strong enough. And I remember Bruce saying, because I asked him for advice, and I remember him saying, well, you need to strengthen your light feminine. It will bring out his dark masculine. And I knew inside of me, I said, no. I mean, yes, that is one way. That is how polarities work. But I want to be in brotherhood with him. Like, I want our dark masculines to be able to be in brotherhood. And that's one of the things I shared with you and Nemanja when you guys were here for the temple training, that do you have a brotherhood? And some people get really scared about entering into that because they think the charge will go, the sex will, you know, become boring, or the, you know, like, that whole like polarity dance that I've got to hold this and you've got to hold that. No, actually, you can hold all of it and spin and dance and whoops. You know, and then you've got huge range, including brotherhood and including sisterhood. And I did manage that. And I know you two have also managed that, to come into brotherhood. And I can say, you know, no, it does not reduce our polarity or our sexuality, our charge. And I know that his masculine's got my masculine's back. I know that they are brothers and that, like, I can count on that. Yeah, most people in female bodies don't understand how much you're missing being part of the brotherhood, as much as most of those in male bodies don't really realize how much they miss being part of the sisterhood. And it's part of our work in this life to recognize beyond the form, the energies of soul that are there and the range that that has, which is not the same range that the physical form has.
Beautiful. I love it. So maybe you want to guide the women into an experience if they can feel
it. So it was about how to know if you have a distorted or a, you know, healthy, right? So let's start with solar plexus, since you brought in the chakras. So we can start with the solar plexus. So inviting those listening to just look in, and if you're doing other things, drop them and pay very, very much attention to your inner world. Nothing else matters more now. And connecting to your solar plexus, and connecting to your sense of power, and being very, very honest with yourself. What is my relationship to power outside and inside? And do I know myself as power? And going to those spaces inside where the answer is no, I don't. And what does that have to do with? Maybe it has to do with relationship, or it has to do with money, or it has to do with this thing or that thing. Where is it that I give my power away? I shrink, play it small. And naming that out loud for yourself. Crystallizing it, owning it. Not a shaming, it's just a taking responsibility for. And now the flip side, which is, how do I overpower, dominate, or have the desire to? So the energy may come out, although it may not be acted out fully. Under what circumstances? Having clarity. Distortion of power. And just seeing if you can find that middle ground where there are moments where I know myself as power. Not that I am powerful, but this being is power. And in that place of balance, you cannot be seduced by power. You don't have to reject it. It's just something that's pouring through. And recognize it. In what ways does it express? And so making your commitment around the power piece, what needs nurturing, what needs to be supported to grow, and what needs to be cleaned out so that it comes to balance. And having that reference point for when it is in balance and you know yourself as power. And taking a deep breath and dropping down now to the sacral desire. And because most people who are in female bodies are used to being the sushi, then just, you know, how would you love to be ravished, taken? We all long to surrender to true power, clean power. So feel on the receiving end how that is. And maybe you visualize or fantasize or whatever, just invoke it. Activating your body. That longing to be claimed, to be taken with your consent. And now taking a deep breath, and instead of being the sushi, you're the mouth. Just reversing the roles and embody that you're longing for. What are its qualities? And again, the tendency might be to go back to being the sushi, hold it. That which you imagine or fantasize or have experienced, be it. How is it to take with pleasure, own what you want, claim that desire, and then enjoy it with consent. Enjoy taking it. And feel what happens in your energetic cloak. Now dropping the sushi analogy, and what aspect of life do you want to ravish? Do you want to claim and take and penetrate through and manifest? Maybe it is in sexuality, maybe it's some projects, some work-related thing. And feeling the juices running. Juicing as a desire. And notice the voices in your head that might start saying, no, that's wrong, no, we can't do it, no, 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 that's too much, no, people might get hurt, or people might object to this and that. Stand. Hold it. You have every right to claim, own your desire, and go for it with consent. Whether you're met or not, that's up to life to decide. You do your part. You feel like that sperm that's penetrating the egg, manifesting penetrative power. Feel that coming out of you. Out of your solar plexus, out of your heart, your whole being, your etheric cock, however it works for you, that penetrative power. Cutting through bullshit, dropping down now to the base, wielder of deaths. What needs to go? What are you carrying that's a cadaver dragging around on life support? Some behavioral pattern? Some relationship, some decision that is not in integrity. What needs to go? Yeah, that thing that you're trying to hide, it's that. So if you find yourself like, yeah, no, but don't look at this. Actually, no, but not that. It's that. Do you have the courage, the love to bring an end to that? Because it is already ended. It's just a matter of recognizing reality. This time has come. Do you have the love that it takes? If yes, connecting to that part of you that wields, has power, and for analogy's sake, maybe it's a sword, an arrow, a knife, whatever it is. What is the energy that moves this? It is not because I'm frustrated with this and like, fuck, I'd like it to just disappear. It's not because, oh, I heard that this is bad and wrong and so it should go. Or some critical voice in your head that's saying should. No, it's an energy of love. It's a deep love. So what moves that impulse? Is it freedom? Is it truth? Love with a capital L. What is it? Name it for yourself. And then let that energy penetrate through this that must go as love itself. And then taking a deep breath and letting that settle. So this will give you some insight on, do I have the courage? Do I recognize this as love as it is? Is bringing an end to something, something that like, yeah, I'm like off with their heads. Okay, maybe that needs to come into balance. Or like, oh, no, I can't. No, I can't do that. Like, I'd rather drag this out for another 10 years than do that. Well, maybe you need to nurture this. And like that with the three different chakras and layers that we went through, where do I need to strengthen? What needs to come into balance? And where is there a healthy presence of the dark masculine already there? And to celebrate that publicly, whatever that means. Maybe it's just in front of your mirror. That's fine.
Thank you. That was a very beautiful introspection. I feel curious if you maybe want to share, just to close our time together, what do you feel the world would look like when the dark masculine is integrated?
Amazing question. Safe. It's not about exactly what it would look like, but what it would feel like. Safe, honest, authentic, powerful, greater range of what we consider love, what we've been sold. Both of us have been raised by Disney. Not good enough. Has no rage. Brave. Courageous. Something like that. I don't know. And it involves, of course, all of us. And definitely healthier. Definitely healthier and definitely grounded. Manifesting soul. Soul. Energy. Love. Purpose. Etc. Instead of letting it like being in the ethers. This solidarity also. This brotherhood definitely amongst. But this standing, it's like there's this kind of at the most epic level, you know, this standing for and as the earth in brotherhood. Yeah, I know there's just a part of me that has this like for the ancient ways of the dark masculine and like the samurai ways and these kinds of things, you know, such integrity and such deep love and this. Yeah, so I think it would be hot. Really hot. I think it'd be also a lot of great sex. Not that all the other quadrants don't have great sex, because they do, all of them. But yeah, there would be more great sex, let's say.
Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much for your beautiful transmission today, but also for this really, really important work that you bring into the world. And I know you have a beautiful webinar around the dark masculine. So for the ones here, if you feel interested to explore even more into the realms of the dark masculine, you can find a link to Taki's webinar below this video. And yeah, thank you so much for being here with us today. I feel really, really grateful. I know that I've deepened a lot in my own journey with this topic in connection with you. And yeah, once more, I want to say thank you for that.
Nicole, thank you again for the invitation, the amazing work you're doing, and I'm happy to support, and I'm so grateful for your inputs around all.
Yeah, thank you. And for women here, please share your experience in the Facebook group and let us know your connection with your dark masculine, where you are feeling you want to have power over or where you're holding back, and maybe also where you are feeling integrated with this archetype. I wish you also a lot of joy with exploring the other speakers of today, and we send you much love. Did you receive any inspiration, motivation, or powerful breakthroughs by listening to this episode? Then please share this episode by taking a screenshot and tagging me in your stories at nicole.nima.costeras. I would love to celebrate you, share you in my stories, and it would mean so much to have my work reach more powerful, passionate women like you. Thank you so much, and looking forward to see you next week.